Not today. Not today. Not today. What's up, everyone? Don Tony here, and this is your second ever Q&A. YouTube Ask DT Anything, the DT Mailbag, Mailbag from the Scumbag, however everybody wants me to call it. I want to thank you always for joining me right here. I tell you, it was a little weird. Yesterday, which was Monday, the 26th, I did half of this episode. And I started really feeling shungada. Anybody tuned in last night, you know, I was a little under the weather. And then I wanted to do the other half of the episode today. Then I realized, number one, I'm wearing different clothes from yesterday. Number two, I actually sound a little bit more upbeat because I feel a little better. Yes, I have legit bulletproof coffee. I don't know if you could see it. Bulletproof coffee. I'm drinking that. I got my bottled water. So, you know, and then the weird thing about it is I have this set to private because, you know, I didn't want to start having people in the chat. And then, you know, I want to just get these questions done as quickly as I can, because that's why you're here. And it's strictly Q&A. And when I started finishing up yesterday's episode, I look on the screen and I see 11 concurrent viewers. Now, 11 is a pathetic, shitty number, but I have everything set up to private. And I'm saying to myself, how can that be? So I decide, you know what, let's just scrap yesterday entirely. And you know what, when you have those clocks in the background, it's hard for me to lie as far as when I'm actually recording something. So right now it is Tuesday afternoon, about 3:53 p.m. here in New York. I am back once again. This is your Ask DT Anything, Rapid Fire, Mailbag, blah, 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 blah. And I tell you, I love the fact that we're doing this every 2 weeks from now on instead of every three. For the simple reason that it keeps the questions a lot less and it keeps it fresher as well. And as you're going to see on this episode, I mean, I am going to be able to fly through these because it's not a whole lot of questions. And a lot of you will focus more on what to call these Q&As. But, you know, I and I'm going to give some shout outs as we go along. But I think in the end, I think just keep it very, very simple. Q&A, ask DT anything, maybe DT mailbag. You know, I would love to do mailbag from the scumbag, but I'm trying to be a little bit more tame on YouTube. Obviously, you got to be very careful with guidelines. I have not violated any yet. I came close once when I posted the pretzel crap that I did from TNA many, many years ago. But we're just trying to have a good time here and have some fun and, you know, try to block out the outside noise as much as possible. So I want to get right into these. And before anything, I want to give a special shout out to Danny Morgan, because Danny says that Danny feels like we hang out 4 to 5 times a week, and Danny hangs out more with me than a lot of friends. And I get that over and over and over again. And that's awesome, man. It's seriously, I'm not going to lie to you. I have had my fiance say to me, you spend more time on the internet with your friends on these shows than you spend with me. And I see her more on the weekend. During the week, it's kind of difficult because I have my office to run. I go to my parents' house 1 to 2 times a week, spend time with them, help them with a little bit around the house. I mean, you know, my father's very thick-headed. He's an old-school Italian where he could be crippled, and he'll still walk around like, hey, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Then when you turn around, he does this. I kid you not. That's why that picture I posted on my Twitter a couple of days ago about them being a light in my life, it is so freaking true, man. I mean, it hurts already because I brought it up before. You all know about my mom's health issues. My father's battled prostate cancer. My father's got 2 crushed vertebrae in his back. And you see them smile, you know, despite all the crap that's going on in this world. I mean, it really hits your strings. But you know, look, we're having fun here. And I thank you for all the support, every one of you, even all of you out there, the thousands and thousands and thousands that never leave a comment, that sit on the back burner and just take it in. You know, I've been doing this since 1997, and it's strange to this day, and I kid you not, it's not a joke, but it's strange to this day when you get some people that will say, hey, DT, first time, long time, been enjoying your stuff since 99 or 97 or 2000. And the weird thing about it is they bring up specific incidents that were never really ever brought online or discussed. And that's when I know when someone is not just trying to pander to me, but is actually being honest. And it blows me away to have people still to this day tuning into my stuff for 23 years. We're now going on 24 years. And only now are they passing by to say hi. It's awesome. I love it. I absolutely love it. So, but I thank you very much for the support, each and every one of you out there. You have no idea. It's so humbling. And, you know, the one thing I always promise to you is authenticity. I will say things that will rub people the wrong way. I will have certain political and social views, pro wrestling views. I give some people a benefit of the doubt that almost everybody won't, you know. But I think at the end of the day, the one thing that I do garnish from everyone out there is, hey, you know, I don't agree with everything of what he says, but you know what? He's straight up and he's honest about it. And I always thought that that's an important trait with someone, you know. And I get people all the time asking me for advice publicly, privately, as far as, you know, if I can give them some advice or doing their own shows. It doesn't even have to be wrestling. And I always say the same thing, authenticity, be yourself, and also be able to handle absolute huge amounts of criticism. You know, if you have a view that is very unpopular, you know, you got to be able to back it up. And you can't just back it up by calling people names and issuing threats and this and that. That's why, you know, and you see some people online that claim to be the toughest people in the world. And look, you know, everyone knows that I am a Trump supporter. I'm not sure if I'm voting this year. There's a lot of things about Trump that I no longer like. But I also believe that he is one of the most thinnest skinned people in the world. And you could see that. But when it comes to everyday life and you see people out there who claim they're tough as nails and street worthy and, you know, thick skin, and you pose one tiny little bit of criticism to you, and it's like as if you murdered their family. So I just always tell everyone out there, be prepared for backlash and criticism. And you'll always have your haters. You'll always have your haters. And, you know, it took me a very long time. You know, it's very easy to say it. You know, I know this is a bad comparison, but you'll understand why I say this. Axel Rotten, God bless that man. You know, he's in the heavens now. He battled some crazy, crazy, crazy-ass addictions. A lot of his pain, you know, we knew that he hurt from all the wrestling and the hardcore stuff, but he hurt more physically than I think anyone ever imagined. There used to be a hotline guy by the name of Fat Tim, who I didn't get along with, but was very, very close to Axel Rotten. And Axel Rotten would, you know, tell me really nice things about this guy, which would kind of blow me away. I'm like, wait, Fat Tim? You kidding me? My point is that when I used to do the Mass Maniac show, and we have a couple of episodes on Patreon, and one or two, I believe, are Axel Rotten. One's Axel Rotten and New Jack. I think the other one is Axel Rotten as well. The one thing that was so sad, because we were friendly with him personally, and he would every couple of months make an announcement on our show that he is now clean and he's drug-free. And, you know, the first time, the second time, we were like, oh, man, that's awesome, this and that. And then when it was the fifth, sixth, seventh time, we would still publicly, oh, man, that's awesome, keep fighting the good fight, and this and that. And then you realize that he is saying it as a way to try to convince people that he's doing something that he's not. Look, sometimes, and I have done this, and maybe I got that partly off of him, but sometimes I will make a challenge publicly or an announcement of something that I'm going to do, whatever it is, doesn't even have to be wrestling. And I feel like, okay, now since I've told the Donzilla army, I don't want to say the world, but since I've told people I know that I'm going to do this, Now my feet are going to be held to the fire. When I started going on this diet, you know, I had two ways of going about it. I could exaggerate and say I'm knocking this shit out of the park, or I could turn around and just be honest with everyone. And, you know, it's going to be a serious, huge battle. And, you know, I put myself out there and it turned out to be a challenge. When I said I was going to go video, you know, I have said that for 5-6 years, and for various reasons, it didn't happen right away. But last year, after I would say March or April, I was convinced that, okay, I'm going to take this to the next level. And once I started hyping it up and teasing it, even if you remember the pictures of me gutting this room and showing the room before I did what I did here, it is amazing. If you go to my Twitter, at Don Tony D, and just search like late 2019, just go check the media section, because I don't post many photos. Check the media section on my Twitter, and you'll be blown away as far as what I did. But I felt the minute I snapped that first picture of this place looking like a bomb hit it, I now had to hold that obligation that I really needed to show progress. And that's what I did. And, you know, some people out there will announce and say, and this and that, almost as a way of trying to light a fire under this. Like, they don't mean it. They don't know if it's going to end up being that, but it's their way of saying, okay, now I put it out there. Now I got to back it up. And it was so sad to see that happen when it comes to addiction. And, you know, that guy, I know a lot of you out there probably never cared for his work. Maybe some of you, he's way before your time. That guy was a really, really good guy. Axel Rotten, really, really good guy. And hey, you see what happens on these shows? We have some real conversation, deep convo. Some of you absolutely love it. Some don't, you know, but I march to the beat of my own drum. You know, I think people are starting to realize that my style is completely different than a lot of the other shows out there. And that doesn't make me better than them or any worse than them. But that's why when people compare me to other shows, you know, you got to just use stats. You know, it's unfair, because still it's just a flat out truth. About 75% of my audience still enjoys everything that I do via audio only. I will never take that away from them. But, you know, the video part of it was allowed me to present an extension of myself, to branch out and new challenges. And, you know, when you actually see someone's face, you know, I think that's very, very important. I can't get behind people that, you know, have such a public profile and you know nothing about them. You'd be shocked. I mean, I see it. Even with people I went to school with, I mean, there's a few people on my Facebook page, and people that know me personally know I have posted on my Facebook page, I think, 3 times over the last year. I mean, I just don't post on Facebook anymore. It got so toxic, not as bad as Twitter, but it was pretty toxic that I was just like, I'm just staying away. I announced my engagement last year, and I might have posted once since then. You know, I talk to my friends privately, but I don't post on social media. And you see some people out there that, you know, because I've been on Facebook now for well over a decade, you know, 13, 14 years, I would say. And you see people that started creating an online profile 13, 14 years ago. And every so often, you know, someone gets exposed for being an absolute fraud. And then you realize, my God, everything this person was building up over the last 12, 13 years was a lie. There was one person that we went to school with that told us he was married, that he had 2 kids, that one of his kids was going to be graduating school. One of his other kids had some type of learning disability. Then he had a health scare and told everybody to pray for him. Then he talked about having issues with his, you know, with his family and his marriage life, and any support would be appreciated, this and that. This went on for about 5 years. The battles went on for about 5 years. But we started, because when I first went on Facebook, I don't remember exactly what year, I'm just assuming 15 years ago. But I remember when I first went on Facebook, the first people I connected with was my family, people I knew privately, personally, a couple of people in wrestling. I learned my lesson to keep real personal family and friends separate. With all due respect, I think everyone out there would agree with me on that. And people I went to school with. And, you know, early on, it's playing these trivia games. And, you know, I that's how, if you remember the story, that's how this girl, Lisa, if anybody remembers the bus story where I was shy, I could have scored as a teenager. And I just totally, oh, my God. I mean, she's the one, just from talking on Facebook, she's like, you know, oh, you know, I was looking at the high school, you know, video the other day. And I said, what high school video? And she's like, what are you talking about? We had a high school video. I'm like, I never saw it. She's like, oh, my God. She's like, you're on it. You're DJing the overnight dance-a-thon, raising money for charity. She's me at the end of the graduation. I got to post this online for all of you. I got to do it. When I graduated high school in the late 80s, don't ask me why. This was before, I believe, WWF, where you went to a show and you got to take home the chair. But I went to the graduation ceremony, and you see me walking out of the ceremony with a bunch of my friends, and I took the chair with me. It had nothing to do with wrestling. I wasn't going to chair bash anyone. I walked out with the chair. You see 660 people walking out of the arena, you know, after the ceremony, and I am the only goof walking out with a chair. And you know me, when I tell stories, 9 times out of 10, I could back them some bitches up. So I'm going to send it to all of you. But if some of you out there don't know the story about me as a teenager on the school bus with this chick and I totally wimped out, then on this thread for the next Q&A that we will do in 2 weeks, post it. Say, DT, tell me about this story about the girl on the bus when I was 15 years old. I tell that story. I know patrons know the story, but if I tell that story, people are going to be like, boy, you're a fucking loser. So as you can hear in my voice, it's a little strained. I've been under the weather. That's why I'm here, like I said, with my coffee and my water. So let's continue on. Doug Eaton, DT's junk mail. Nobody's mail is junk. That's why I won't use that. And please don't be anyone. I don't want anybody to be offended if I say I don't like an idea or something like that. It's nothing personal. But, you know, I value everybody's feedback. You know, I mean, obviously there's trolls out there. And, you know, thank God we haven't had them like we used to. Some people are very bitter about some show changes and everything. But, you know, it is what it is. We move on. But I go out of my way. Any big-time trolls, I just block them. And I'm still new to YouTube, but I absolutely love the shadow ban. You have no idea. One of the greatest things about YouTube is the shadow ban. Because for those that don't know, see on Twitter, you can ban someone. They can't see what you say. You can't, well, you really can't communicate with them either. You ban them, you ban them. They're gone. Facebook as well, but YouTube, they do what's called the shadow ban. When you shadow ban someone, they are writing stuff on your YouTube page, and they are ripping you apart, bringing up this, bringing up that, and the only person can see the post is themselves. Not you, not me. And once in a while, what I do, I'm not kidding, and this will be dedicated to the trolls out there. What I do is I go into my blocked user list. I take a screenshot so I remember the names of everybody. And then what I do is I just unblock everybody. Unblock them for about 5-10 minutes. Then I go back on the page and all of their posts now appear. And I see all the trolling and this and that. And I see what they're writing. And then I go back in the block thing and I just block them again. So there are people, I swear to you, there are people right now that have been posting things on multiple episodes, they have no idea that they're shadow banned. They have no idea that no one sees their post except for themselves. It's a pretty wonderful thing, man. I laughed my ass off. There's this one guy, I won't mention his name, but this is one guy that is just trying to start. And every week or so, I just unblock him just to see what, and I'm like, has he realized yet he's shadow banned? You know, so chances are if I don't address you on a comment, especially on the Q&A, you're probably shadow banned. Seriously, because the last one I answered everybody that was visible. You could go down the list and you'd see everybody there. So shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight, Muhammad Soria, Doug Eaton. He's met wrestlers Steve Austin, Rhino, and a Honky Tonk Man. Who did I meet that I enjoyed the most? Wow. I've met tons of wrestlers over the years, working shows, going to conventions as a kid, meeting them, you know, in person. But as far as the, see, I put nicest and coolest in two different categories. Coolest, you know, I think back at XPW, Danny Doring, coolest. Chaos, coolest. Supreme, God rest his soul. Supreme was quiet, but he was cool. Something about him. Vic Grimes, Pogo the Clown, Tracy Smothers, fighting the good fight about his health. That guy was not only cool, but one of the nicest people I ever met. Shane Douglas, cool, and one of the nicest people I ever met. Terry Funk, he was my favorite since the late 80s, my number one favorite wrestler of all time. My nickname when I first did wrestling hotlines was the Funker. And if you look at my old hotline shirt that I wear once in a while to pay tribute to my comrades, you'll see Funker instead of my name. That was my nickname. And when I met Terry Funk a few times over the years, and then when he sent me that two-page letter when I got engaged back in 1998, it was a beautiful thing, man. It was beautiful. He was as nice as I thought he was cool. Then you got other wrestlers. There's some wrestlers that you have on TV right now that are really, really nice that you would be shocked to think that. But I don't want to mention their names because a lot of our conversations are private. And I know some of you out there who do communicate with some wrestlers, you know, they don't want their names out there. You know, there's one TV show, we won't mention names, but I know some of you will know who I'm talking about right away. There's a TV show, a funny TV show. And there's a guy that is on one of these TV shows, and he's a big-time pro wrestling fan. And privately, you know, props to the shows, loves the shows, loves the work, this and that, episode was great, blah, 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 blah. And somebody publicly had said to him, oh, I heard that you're a big fan of, you know, DTKC show. And he's like, I don't really check out podcasts. And I'm like, dirty, dirty. You know, because it's like you don't want to publicly admit. And I understand why. I mean, you know, back in the day especially, I was very, very, we were all very, very outlandish with some of the things that we said. And, you know, I don't blame some people that, and you see Stolen Remnants. I mean, you see when my name pops up on some forums and people are like, oh, I'm not listening to him. He's a fucking racist. You know, and you realize that that goes back to 15 years ago when Sean the Mick and other people in USA Pro Wrestling that hated the fact that this guy that never paid dues was doing stuff and they wanted to do everything to get me off TV. Then I had that really cool story with New Jack with the eBay thing and people grabbed on that and said, oh, he called New Jack the N-word because they saw how New Jack flipped out on Chris Cash that time. Never happened. And that was a running thing. And because I also did a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor on these shows, I do impersonations. If you notice, I really don't like to do the impersonations anymore because for some reason people think it's racist. Like, I'm saying to myself, why is this racist? You know, it's not the accent, but it's what comes out of my mouth, you know? So I stay away from the impersonations now. you know, because it offends people. And, you know, for me, deep down inside, I'm saying to myself, wait, I'm just, you know, it's just, for, I'm not trying to hurt anyone's, you know, nationality or anything. I make fun of Italians all the time. When I talk about everybody in this neighborhood, hey, how you doing, Anthony? This is Tommy. I need you to come over here. I got a real big problem. Hey, you want me to take care of that guy that's giving you a hard time? It's not to put down any specific, but, you know, it is what it is. So, but, you know, there's a lot of people that I've communicated with, but those are the most nicest people that come to mind right away that I could say. Chris Candido was awesome. Chris Candido, Bam Bam Bigelow. Bam Bam Bigelow would make you laugh at the top of your lungs. Mass Maniac, if any of you out there still talk to him, let him tell you some stories about Bam Bam Bigelow privately. And wonderful, wonderful guy. You know, obviously a beast from the East. You know, the fit, what you see is very intimidating, but just a genuinely good guy in the outside world. There's other people as well. Lowlife Louis Ramos, one of the sweetest, coolest guys, and still scares the shit out of me to this day. There's a lot of people. So, but those are a few. Those are a few. Doug Eaton, also, which wrestler and manager, past the present, would I love to see have a podcast? And he's been enjoying this since 10. Thank you. Paul Heyman. Would love, it's people, it's funny because, you know, I'm from New York and Paul Heyman's from New York as well, you know, and I have talked about people who have influenced me over the years, you know, sportscasters, baseball managers, wrestling managers, personalities, comedians, politicians, you know, and sometimes when I go on these rants, they're like, oh man, you sound exactly like Paul Heyman. And it's not intentional. It's not intentional. It's just the style. But I could listen to Paul Heyman telling stories, and that's why when he was doing that outside project, and I think he still does it, and he would sometimes do these videos and cut little promos here and there. I would love each and every one of them, but he would be the guy that I would love to take in every day. And there's not many people that I would say that about. Buff Egan, have I ever been to Ireland? Who is the greatest Irish wrestler that I have seen? Boy, I tell you, there's not many Irish wrestlers that comes to mind. And, you know, sometimes you got to be a little careful because, you know, you get caught when you talk about the Orient, you mix up countries here and there. I mean, we've had some wrestlers over the years with big-time Irish gimmicks. And, you know, I'll tell you, this guy may not be like, and when I say wrestlers from Ireland, I'm not just talking about anybody that was born in Ireland. I'm talking about a wrestler that actually used the you know, the country as part of their gimmick. And the one person that comes to mind that I think, not only how good he was in the ring, even though he was never like a main eventer, but the influence that he's had on a lot of people of today and what he has done for women's wrestling that doesn't get enough props for it, and that is Finley. And all Finley's from Ireland, I'm pretty sure. I remember the Clovers and all that. But, you know, I like Finley. I always appreciated, you know, his ability and his talent. And there's a lot of people who he has mentored privately. Finley in wrestling is a good thing, so I would say Finley. And I've never been to Ireland. I've actually, over the years, have actually talked to a lot of you out there and trying to set something up. If a big event comes to the UK, that, you know, England or Ireland or somewhere else, that I would shoot on out there. I've talked to Mish. Mish and I really want to start, you know, doing some big get-togethers with everyone. We did the Lucky 13 thing last year. Was awesome. It was awesome. That changed me. As far as me doing shows, that night changed me. It really did. And even big event this year was really, really cool, but that's not enough. You know, so when I say, oh, we're going to go to Florida, we're going to go here, we really would love to try to go somewhere outside the country. And I even told my significant other, I'm like, listen, you know, would you ever maybe for a week want to go to Australia or the UK or, you know, even Ecuador? Because that's, you know, half of family's from Ecuador. And Ecuador is a no to her. I don't know why, but, you know, but I would love to go to Ireland. Absolutely. There's a few countries I would love to go. I'd love to go back to Italy. And I haven't been there since 1985. So, and I still got pictures from the Italy trip. When I used to tell the stories that I brought my boombox all the way to Italy and I put it on as a carry-on, then I had to check it in. You look back at some of those pictures. If you look on the closet, you'll see on the top this big red boombox. Because I used to DJ. And I DJed our parties, our dance-a-thons that we had in our school. And I brought a lot of my mixtapes to Italy. And this is 1985. And people were just blown away by it. They were many, many years behind with dance music. And it was freaking phenomenal. But I haven't been there since 85. I miss it. I really do. Shout out to Jay Carlos. Loves the Q&A. If my lady is a wrestling fan, would I bring her on the show once? Yeah, I think she would walk in here to say hi to everybody. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, I know a lot of you out there love a female's perspective of wrestling, but she's not, like, wants to be a personality or a podcast or anything like that. Like, you know, I think I have a better chance of just taking the phone, doing a selfie with her, and she says hello to everyone out there. But yeah, one day soon, you know, while I'm doing the show, I mean, obviously she's not going to want to look like she got out of bed. I mean, but I'll tell her, I'll say, listen, you know, would you come in the room for like just a minute, just say hello to everyone? I'm sure she would do it. You know, she, I don't think she would say no. So, Benjamin wasn't talking about Triple H just wrestling again, but he agrees that Triple H will wrestle again. But think about it, with COVID being around for years from now, he doesn't think Triple H will ever be able to get by with spinning water ever again as part of his entrance. No, I think he still can. I think, you know, you got to just improvise a little bit. Maybe he spits in the air a little bit more. You know, if the fans are a little bit further behind, obviously you don't want to do it with the plexiglass still up, you know, like WWE has with NXT. Because if you spit the water into the plexiglass, whoever's in those pods are not going to be happy. Because it's not like you could just take like a pretzel napkin and go around the other side of the plexiglass and wipe it off. You'll have like specks of water. I mean, seriously, if I took this right now, I'm not going to do it, but I took this right now into the camera and you pretend the camera's plexiglass and I do the Triple H thing, you won't be able to see the show clearly for the rest of the night. So there's ways he could do it. There's ways he could do it. He could do it walking down the rampway. I understand about the hygiene and everything like that, but hey, if the guy ends up getting vaccinated, and we know he got vaccinated, you know, it is what it is. I think wrestlers taking a sip of a beer or something like that from a fan, I think you'll see that again. Maybe not right now, and sooner than later. I personally, just me, I would never drink something out of someone else's cup, you know. Even my fiance, I know some of you are going to say, oh, you're weird, DT. Even my fiance, if, you know, now I'm on this diet, I have to be very strict about it. But she would order her drinks when we would go out for like a dinner or something. And she'd order something I've never had before. And she'd be like, oh my God, you got to try this. And if there wasn't another straw around, I would just say, no, no. And she's like, oh, drink from the other side of the glass. I'm like, no, no, you know, that's just how I am. But I still think you'll see him spit the water if he does do an entrance again. Yeah, I definitely think so. Danny has an interesting idea that maybe one day I could actually do something with my old self. Kind of like, you know, talk to my old self as far as what I used to stay in my style. I'll tell you the truth. all my old shows, with the exception of the last 2 years, are offline. You know, some people have accused me of trying to erase people's history, being spiteful, this and that. Fact of the matter is that the amount of money that I have paid over, you know, the last 13 plus years doing shows with other people, and just to have, you know, them remain online so someone could have relevance when they've contributed not a penny for 13 plus years, 14 years. And that's not a negative thing, but I'm just making a financial point on this. You know, why should I do that? So my idea was to get a much smaller server with a lot less bandwidth, and I put the archives on the pay site. This way, I'm not forcing anybody to join the site just to get archives. You should, if you join the site, you're joining the site to support what everyone does and help pay bills. I mean, just because I'm on YouTube now, you know, and some revenue comes in, every expense from my previous responsibilities, the website, the bandwidth, audio only, the taxes, you know, the domains, you know, the server, those are still out there. I still got to pay for them. No one's helping me with that. So, you know, I took it down, and they're going to be uploaded to a much smaller server. And I, about 2 weeks ago, checked out like two very old Breakfast with Blossies. And I was just listening to myself, and I'm like, I'm amazed at some of the things that I said. I mean, I don't walk back anything, you know. I actually am very proud that, you know, over the years I've evolved and matured a little bit. And, you know, when I decide not to use a specific term anymore, it's not because I'm afraid of heat from people out there. It's just, you know, it's disrespectful to a lot of people. But I could picture taking clips of some of my old shows, putting it on here for some of you out there, and me reacting towards some of the old stuff. It's pretty wild. I mean, I listen, if you want to go further back, I go back, I still have my hotline reports from 1999. That's 21 years ago. I said, some of you have heard some of them before. Number one, I am the biggest, goofiest loser on those shows. I sound like the ultimate nerd. I am just terrible. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, over time, you know, you change. You know, you evolve, you mature. Sometimes you become more immature. It's just the way that it is. But yeah, back in the day compared to now, as drastic as people remember me from 12, 13 years ago, it's just as drastic when I was doing the hotlines in 99. I don't know. I listen back to it and I say to myself, how was I the biggest free wrestling hotline host in America at that time? I mean, to the point where Blackjack Brown and King Jordan, I think King Jordan has passed, but Blackjack Brown is still alive, that in, I would say 1999 or 2000, that they were really pushing me to do a 900 hotline with them. And the only reason why I didn't do it is because I didn't believe in myself. I actually thought, like, who's going to pay money to listen to me? I have no contacts. I have no connections. Like, you know, I'm just, because I was great with my analysis, people call those hotlines for different reasons. They want gossip, you know, and yes, they would troll and clickbait a lot. I didn't want to be part of that. So, Jason Lynn, yes, the caption contest, you know, you got to go back to the episode from the following week. I don't remember who exactly won it, but yeah, I mean, I post the winners on the YouTube shows all the time. Usually the winners for Wednesdays are posted on Wednesdays, and I think the caption contest, it was the following Friday's episode. So shout out to Jeremiah Johnson. He likes the idea of calling the shows after pay-per-views, Afterburn. I think a lot of people have used afterburn. So I really don't want to use a term that a lot of people have used, because especially when you do a search, you'll get multiple different people. And, you know, that's one thing. That's why I liked Wednesday Night Dynamite so much. It was so different than anyone else. Like, I don't like using a name that other people have used. I mean, back in the day, I had some interesting names for the shows. Hell, you go back to 20-some-odd years ago, we were the Blackhearts Sports Entertainment Hotline. You see my shirt that I wear once a month is Blackhearts. Tommaso Ciampa, Blackheart. Who else? Shotzi, Blackheart. We've had Blackhearts in wrestling over the years. We've had Blackhearts before we did Hotlines. But the thing is, you know, at the time, nobody was really using it as far as shows go. So that's what we called ourselves, the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. So, what is my favorite Italian food versus my least favorite Italian food? Okay, I'm not going to include diets right now, just straight up, if I could eat anything. My favorite Italian food is probably eggplant parmesan. My mother makes a mean pasta goulaglia, spaghetti with garlic and oil, linguine garlic and oil. She makes an awesome lasagna. Stuffed shells and monogotas is really just pasta with ricotta inside and sauce. It's not very creative, but that's more of a generic. But I will tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, my favorite, my least favorite Italian food, and it's not just Italian. You go to sushi restaurants, you'll find it there. You go to other restaurants, you find it there. But Italians are known for seafood. And they'll make like a squingili salad with like octopus in it and other things. And I have never had calamari fried, uncooked. I will not touch it. One time it got close to my lips, and all I kept thinking about was when I was going saltwater fishing, we would take octopus and we would cut it into strips and use it for bait. And it was all rubbery and everything. I remember cutting the head off and the eyes looking at me. So I didn't care if it had breadcrumbs, batter, it didn't matter. It's sauce. I do not like seafood salad. I do not like calamari. I can't say I don't like calamari because I've never had it, but I just get skeeved whenever I see it. So, Lunchbox, thank you for the kind words about my family. Crazy Cruiserweight, top three least favorite tag teams in pro wrestling. Well, you know, you're asking me to go back 30, 40 years, so it'd be a little bit difficult, but I will tell you, just off the top of my head, some teams that I absolutely hated on TV. I hated Well Done. It's nothing against them. I just hated the team Well Done. It was god-awful. I hated Tecmo Team 2000. Believe it or not, and I've joked about this before, and nothing against either one of them, but when I was growing up as a kid, whenever the Strong Bros were on TV, I just looked the other way, changed the channel, disinterested. Jay Strongbow, I could tolerate a little bit. Jules Strongbow, I just hated him. I just never liked him at all. The Killer Bees, believe it or not, you know, they were okay, but they were never one of my favorites. You know, when they would lose all the time, I'd laugh. I'd be like, eh-huh. You know, but those are a couple right off the bat. Sure, there's some, if you want to use the term jobber tag teams over the years that you could easily go to as well. But those are a couple that come to mind right away. I never actually had the opportunity to go to an XFL game back in the day. There were two times that we were this close of going, me and my friends, because you got to remember, this is 2001. Me and my friends would all be on the phone. Hey, you know, you want to get to, because, yeah, we used phones at that time. We're like, hey, you want to get together? Let's go to XFL. Oh, we'll do like a, you know, back, you know, parking lot, barbecue and this and that. And, you know, once it would get a little bit closer, oh, man, if next week I'd be there. Oh, you know, I got to do this over the week. Oh, I got to take this person here. Oh, I got to do this. And this person would back out. And this person would back out. And this person would back out. And it pissed me off because I used to go to a lot of the Giants games. And, you know, the cold I never liked. But Giants games, you know, I still enjoy tremendously. So, but, yeah, I never really got the opportunity. Based on stats, what are the top three states in the USA where my shows are downloaded from? That's interesting you brought that up because Mish and I were joking last night about it, about some countries where our shows are in the top 10. And in two countries, I don't remember which ones, well, we're number one against anybody. Don't know why, but I will tell you from looking at the stats, New York is pretty much number one because there's so many people I know from New York that enjoy the shows. Number two, believe it or not, would be, I believe, Virginia or Washington. I think Virginia may fall into Washington, but that is number two, which surprised the hell out of me when I saw that. California is number three. Those are the top three. And as far as countries go, United States is number one. UK is number two, and Australia, I believe, is number three. But, you know, when I look at the stats, I'm not kidding. Like, we have stats in like 100 different countries. And look, yes, there's some places that are called countries and they're this big, but it blows you away when you see numbers ranked. And, you know, believe it or not, in the top 10 as far as countries is, well, I don't know if you would classify that as around the country, but Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, it's amazing how many people tune into these shows. It's mind-boggling sometimes because, and I'm not trying to be a jerk right now, my style is a lot tamer than what it was even 5 years ago. But, yeah, I just think to myself, like, I would just imagine some countries where just for listening to something outrageous, you could get shot over it. I'm not saying that those countries are one of them, but, like, I just picture somebody cranking my content in one of those countries, especially my views on some social things going on. I just can't, I would think they'd get into massive trouble over it, but it is what it is. Garth Overstein, shout out to you, my friend. Mike Bell, always thought a huge missed opportunity with the original Ministry of Darkness, you know, until it was of the Vince revelation. How would I have booked it? Who would I have liked to become the higher power? I'm so glad you said this. Because if you do check the archives of the shows, if you do a Google search, you will see that I have talked about this. In fact, the history show that I did, those 2 years, look up the week, the date that Vince was revealed as the higher power. Go to my history show because I covered it. You will hear my rant on that history show. But just to summarize what I said that time, I loved that was Vince McMahon. I wouldn't have changed a thing. And believe it or not, the more I'm thinking of about the history show that I did that time, I played, I think, like 20 or 30 minutes of the reveal. Because wasn't it early in the night, Vince was supposed to take on Shane, and Shane was on the Titantron and was going to do something to Vince and this and that. And then they brought out Under the Mask. Then, it was me, Austin. It was me all along. Then what happened? What happened? This is what pisses me off about the whole higher power revelation. Everybody always forgets what went on right after Austin was revealed as the higher power. I played that song of a bitch from beginning to end. I loved that it was Vince McMahon. Go back. I did the history show 2-3 years ago. Just look up the date when Vince was revealed as the higher power and go to my episode and sit back for about 30 minutes and you will enjoy not only the content but my rant about it. I absolutely loved Vince McMahon as the higher power. I thought it was great. I thought, and look, obviously, you know I'm not, I'm only looking at the questions. I'm not looking at any notes. I'm telling you straight from memory and from here and from here and here. But what I always remember from that night also is when they revealed it was Vince, I always remember Jim Ross. I don't know what exactly he said, and this may be exact, but I remember he was like, "Ah, son of a bitch." It was perfect. For me, it was perfect. I know I'm in the minority with that. I loved it. Anthony Paventa, after all these years, 2008 to the present, while looking at the steep viewership decline and the lack of mega superstars, do I think TVPG ruined WWE forever? No. No. Wrestling was PG in the 80s. Loved it. Wrestling was PG in many parts of the 90s. Loved it. It's just political correctness. It's answering to too many groups and organizations. The fear of offending any group. And look, you should always try not to offend people. But if you're an entertainment company, you're not going to stop doing certain types of movies or movies that involve abuse or violence or this and that simply because you're going to offend people out there who are true victims of that violence. It's at the end of the day, it's entertainment. What's been ruining WWE is, you know, having to answer. And that's what happens when you are a publicly traded company. That's why, you know, when I see these people out there that their business history is running a paper route or they're just totally unemployed and they're ripping WWE saying that, oh, Triple H is hiding that Velveteen Dream did something. You're not going to risk a $1 billion company and exposing something like that. You know, it's, and I'm just using that as an example. But, you know, even when Fox rated that episode, the last time Retribution was on SmackDown, they rated a TV-14. You know, you saw WWE immediately cave in to Fox because they don't want to have to deal with advertisers saying, what is this crap TV-14? That's not what we paid for. You have all these organizations pissed off. You're going back to TV-14? Attitude? And you don't want to have to deal with that. Rumblings in the stock market? Uh-oh. People on social media stick to the one-liner, you know, emotional posts. They think with this. They don't think with this. So it's the political correctness and having to answer to so many organizations out there. So Mike Godwin, the I Quit match for him is Bret Hart versus Steve Austin. Still thinks it's one of the greatest matches. Feedback from my last episode. And, yeah, I mean, we've had over the years attempts of trying to do a double turn in other matches and other promotions as well. Was never done better than Austin Bret Hart. And give Shamrock credit as well. Because Shamrock, you know, there was still a lot of unknown with Shamrock. He was the guest referee. He was still new in the WWF. And Bret Hart, having a little bit of interaction with him, you know, helped as well. But, man, I don't think that'll ever be duplicated. I don't think it'll ever be duplicated. Shout out to Blazing Bolts from Bakersfield. Do I see WWE going out of business? Wouldn't surprise me if it got sold in the next couple of years. I mean, as much as, but I also believe that if it was ever sold, I think there would be some agreement where they would be, some members in the McMahon, you know, Triple H family would remain in the company in an executive position. But if WWE could get a crazy ass buyer of somebody overpaying a little bit, and you know, wrestling is obviously not what it was before. You know, I'm still, you know, I think I was the only person on the net that within 24 hours of Jeff Jarrett saying there's a wrestling boom that, you know, You know, if you look at the total number of people enjoying wrestling, it's still gone down. And you can't say, oh, it's all social media and Hulu and this and that. No, it's gone down. WWE got a crazy-ass deal, and AEW got a decent deal with TNT. What about everyone else? You would think if wrestling was being cream-craved by the entertainment world that bad, you'd have some of these smaller promotions getting some type of lucrative offer to expand a little bit. And I thought Lucha Underground had a nice niche, but I never thought it would last. So WWE, I could see be sold, but I don't think it'll be going out of business anytime soon. Garth with the idea named the DT Beyond Show, and I don't want the Q&A's to be a show, just conversation. So, Jeffrey Lenoir, thank you, my friend, for the kind words. Doug, do I see WWE compare Ali and Retribution to Hogan in the NWO? No. And I think since you wrote that a week ago, I think we have seen the regression of Retribution even further. I don't know what you could compare it to. I mean, if they were going to do something with Shane, which was my idea a long time ago, then maybe they would have had some type of a shot. But now, when they have contracts and this and that, it just felt like, let's just speed up the age process of this storyline. Now I think they're starting to hit their senior years, so this storyline, I don't know if it's around 6 months from now. So, shout out to Nice and Analogy 24. Shoguki TV. Would I have put the world title on Owen Hart back in the day? You know, I've said this before. I loved Owen Hart. Awesome wrestler. As the years go by, his level of status in pro wrestling seems to increase. And that happens everywhere. There was no way Owen Hart was getting the heavyweight title back in the late 90s. Was no way. Just mid to late 90s, no way. After the Montreal Screwjob, when he did the storyline, him running through the crowd and everything, it was a good storyline, but you saw who WWF had mapped out as to be the champions of that company. I never saw it. I would have liked it, but it just did not feel like it was in the cards. You go to Wayback Machine and look at all the forums and discussions and all the blogs and the articles that people wrote back when Owen was still in the WWF, when Brett went to WCW, and you will see no newsletter, no rant, maybe opinion, but you'll see nobody reporting that WWF is considering putting the belt on Owen Hart. It wasn't in the cards. Same thing with Brian Pillman. I see people today, if Brian Pillman didn't die, he would have been heavyweight champion. Yeah, on what? One toe? I loved Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman was one of my fucking favorites of all time. I still got his original ECW shirt. Maybe I'll wear it later this week or next Monday after Halloween. Loved that guy. Called his hotline, 1-900-909-PILL, I think it was. Shh, you might hear something you weren't supposed to. No, that shit, brainwashed with that. Never talk of heavyweight champion, even on the hotlines. You know, there was some diehard Pillman fans that would have loved it, but in reality, when you see people say that today, if Pillman wouldn't have died, it would have been heavyweight champion. That's just trying to get conversation going. That's their opinion, which they have every right to. Joey Dallas wanted to know when I'm ready to give away the AEW belt as a prize. I like your idea, man. Have everybody cut a promo. Do a promo contest. Have people cut promos for the shows. I absolutely love that. I think it would be pretty cool to have a montage. You know, look, I'm not trying to be a jerk. Maybe I am. But I find it so cute. I brought it up before. I find it so cute to see some of these podcasters. They'll have videos of Hall of Famers, famous wrestlers, really, really big wrestlers of today. Hey, you're checking out the blah, 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 blah show on blah, 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 and make sure everyone supports this and that. And then what they do is they crap the video. So you don't see a word on the bottom. It begins with C, ends in O, has three vowels in it. C-A-M-E-O, three vowels. Cameo, you know? I could pay cameos through my ass and have 1,000 wrestlers giving me... When I used to do that Blackhearts promo with RVD and the SATs and Quiet Storm and, you know, all these others, you know, half of them enjoyed the shows. That's why I left the SAT one at the end. Where they go, if anybody remembers the promo, I don't have it handy. I wish I did. That would have been cool to share right now, but I don't think I have it over here. I'll look very quickly, but I don't think so. No, I don't. I'm sorry. But when we did the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline and the SATs. Yo, this is Jose Maximo. You're checking out Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline, and check out their website at wrestling-news.com. Oh, wait. I heard of you guys. And then you hear Matt Zombie start saying our hotline, and he goes 71830, and then you hear the SATs, Red. Red from the SATs, Amazing Red, which I know a lot of you absolutely love. You hear Amazing Red in the SATs at the very end going, finishing it. Matt Zombie says 71830, and you hear them going 34444, yeah! Yeah. Greatest feeling, man. Greatest feeling. So I used to love getting people that would cut a little promo for us, and they actually, Balls Mahoney, oh my God, that guy used to leave us drunken voicemail messages. Once in a while, we would share them on the hotline. Yo, it's Balls. Yo, keep up the good work. And then I have one promo, and I still have it somewhere. This is when we were outside. Frankie Stars was doing an event in Long Island, a mosh pit. Just imagine yours truly, a cuisine, going to a mosh pit party. And they did something where Balls Mahoney, and Frankie Stars is still alive. I hope he's doing well. That guy was good guy, man. Really, really generous guy. Really cared about our military more than you could ever imagine. If any of you still talk to Frankie Stars, ask him about that night. He did a big mosh pit party in Long Island, and they had Balls Mahoney there. And they did this thing where the guy, Frankie Starr, started trashing everybody in the crowd. They had a band there, and Balls Mahoney comes out and hits him over the head with a chair, one of the hardest chair shots I've ever seen live and in person. Then after that, everybody's getting thrown in the mosh pit, and I'm there, and I'm just like totally out of place. Then we go into the basement. It's an experience. I don't like kissing and telling, but one thing about me when I tell you these stories, there are people still alive, and they have social media, because there's a lot of people that tell stories online, and for some reason, every party involved doesn't have a social media account. You ever notice that? Some people out there that will tell you all these stories about this person, this person, this person, and none of them have social media to back it up. Frankie Stars will back this one up. Brian Damage will back this one up. After the mosh pit thing, we go into this basement. And I'm not going to lie, Balls was down there doing some big-time narcotics. And we see people, you know, having relations. And it was just a basement that we were sitting down, hanging out. We didn't do anything. I had to drive, and because of my business, I would never, ever mix drugs and driving. I would have a cocktail here and there. You know, I've talked about the stories before. But drugs, never. Not while driving. And just what I witnessed. But after we were done, we were outside in front of the bar, and we asked Balls to cut a promo for us. And he was wired, and I have the full promo still. I got to share it one day. And he's like, yo, this is Balls Mahoney. You got to check out the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. They don't lie. They don't beat around the bush. They tell you what is on their fucking mind. And he's going on and on and on for about 2 minutes. It was the funniest thing, man. It's incredible. It's incredible. But I'm pissed, man. I honestly thought I had the intro over here because I played it on Patreon. But as I'm looking over here, I don't see it. I don't see it, man. I'm pissed. That would have been cool to share with everyone. But we do it next time. We do it next time. Yeah, I'm looking one last time. Maybe I labeled it a different name or something, but I don't see it anywhere. Yeah, I don't see it. So next time. And like I said, you know, when I tell stories, 9 times out of 10, I have proof to back it up. So Puffy89, shout out to you, my friend. Not sure if I ever brought this up, but do I believe that WWE almost hurts themselves with the Wednesday night ratings by adding that week's NXT literally the next night on the network? No, because they have a lot of subscribers on the network. And some people do check out AEW over NXT on Wednesdays. So putting it right on the network, especially the next day when you hear other people say, man, last night's NXT was a great episode, you'll have people that'll go watch it. So I don't think it hurts them at all. I think it hurts WWE to go up against any competition right now, because you want to keep your eye on the prize, and that is developing stars of tomorrow. And you don't want to start, and you've heard me say this on Wednesday nights many times before. You see WWE with a lot of clusterfuck finishes now, with a lot of great matches that end up with a bullshit ending, a lot more than what they used to do, a lot more gimmick stuff. Yes, they have war games in this and that, but now themed, which I like the themed events, to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to Hollywood Havoc tomorrow. But you see, WWE has made changes that I think some of those changes would not have occurred if AEW was not on the same night as them. I think you will see a significant change in NXT's product when they finally are on a different night from AEW. The changes will be subtle at first, but you'll look back probably 3-6 months after the date shift, and you say, you know what? I notice NXT is doing this different. I notice NXT is not really doing this anymore. You're going to see that. And when you see that, remember what I said. So, Joseph Acevedo, you're very welcome, my friend. I sent him a nice little box with DT goodies and bobbleheads and stuff like that. He's a big-time friend of the show. The wrestler in the photo with me was Grim Reefer. And wonderful man as well. Really, really cool guy. He was wondering if I ever done conventions, specifically between 97 through 02. No, I went to conventions, but when I started, I didn't start actually doing stuff for wrestling companies until 2002. Once I started doing stuff in the mid-2000s, I know a lot of you have heard the name Vinny DeGuido. Vinny DeGuido used to push me all the time. Dude, do this Chilla convention. Do this convention with me. Come on. You know, and I used to say, nobody wants to go there to see me. You know, it's like, and he's like, no, man, come on. You did this and that. Do it. And I never bothered to do it. Now I kick myself and regret it. You know, I think it would have probably been funny, especially if I did the Deli Man stuff. And let's see. Can I do a show centered around personal stories, both in and out of wrestling? Would I do a show with OKFabe? Absolutely, man. We just, you know, have to figure out what the conversation would be, what the topics at hand would be. And he is really, really good guy. Definitely would love to do something with him. And we will. You will see us do something. It may not be every day or every week, but you will see us do some interaction in 2001. He is genuine. He's authentic. And to be honest with you, and this is not trying to take shots to anybody, I swear to you it's not, but, you know, I want to focus on building what we have here. But not only that, I'm going to be interacting with other show hosts. You're going to see some people, you know, come on here once in a while, and maybe I do go on theirs once in a while. And the one thing that I definitely want to make sure is I want to center myself around authentic people. They don't have to be perfect. We all come in different shapes, sizes, colors, orientations, nationalities, but authentic. And, you know, when you are so insecure that you have to hide yourself, you know, that's a big red flag to me. I mean, I understand, you know, I did that for many, many years in my private life, would just hide myself. You know, I just was not proud. You know, but you see, and that's why I thought the AEW heels thing was so good and everybody was ripping it apart. I'm not a woman, but I still have that screenshot the first time they did the Zoom. And I looked at every woman in that chat. Now, the old TT would have probably said something dumb like, I wouldn't fucking go anywhere near her. You fucking kidding me? I have to be drunk and this and that. Now, the older DT, I looked at that and I smiled and I said, look at this. You have every shape and size, every creed color. I didn't know who was gay or straight, but everybody was smiling. Nobody gave a shit how heavy this person was or how skinny this person was or this beautiful complexion or this one with zits. Just everybody having a good time. Those are the people I want to be around, you know. there's so much negative in this world. And there's that saying I keep saying now, misery loves company. Keep it. Keep it. Because at the end of the day, most of that company that you keep that is enjoying your misery and agreeing with you, they ain't going to do a damn thing about your bills, about your social life, about your health, about anything else. So I try to stay away from that as much as I can. So, David Schneider, what was my best recap after a Royal Rumble or WrestleMania on the podcast era between 2000 and 2019? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, the one I had the biggest memory with was when Cena came back unexpectedly. I still bring it up to this day. I had a whole bunch of people at my house, and you know, a lot of indie wrestlers were over. We were eating pizza, and I still remember we were all sitting. We had chairs and a couch. We're all sitting all around my TV. And when Cena came out, I know people find this hard to believe now, although people love his social media, his comments. But when he came out, everybody popped. It was such a surprise, but everybody was cool with it. People weren't like, mother, you know? So if there was another memorable one that was a negative is when people thought that Samoa Joe or some, remember the, I played it, I think it was last year or the year before, the montage where Roman Reigns' music hit and you had the reactions of all these different people across the world and they were angry. You remember it. It's on my YouTube channel. I mean, you just had all these video reactions of Roman Reigns coming out. And as soon as you heard, dun-dun, 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 oh, fuck, that is, I couldn't stop laughing. I wish I was doing a podcast or a hotline when Ric Flair won the Royal Rumble. And I won't do one of these watch-alongs from back then. Maybe I will one day, but the feeling that I had when he won it, he can never recreate that original feeling. So, let's see. We're almost done, everybody. Michael Articolo. Grew up watching WWF in the early 80s. To him, he thinks Roddy Piper's run in 84 and 86 still holds up as the greatest heel work in wrestling history. Few favorite heel runs of mine. My God, does it get enough love? Morocco, 83-ish, 82, 83. You know, even before the snooker feud and after, you know, even when he was with Albano and just do jobber matches, the meatball sandwich and the other things, the beach bum, you'd have 200 nobodies in Allentown, Pennsylvania going nuts yelling beach bum at this guy. Morocco was an awesome heel. Awesome fucking heel. Terry Funk, man, Terry Funk. Even when he first came into WWF, when he beat the crap out of Mel Phillips at that time, that's when I first started really getting into Terry Funk. He was a great ass heel at the time. Jake the Snake Roberts is another one. Those come to Ravishing Rick Rude. You know, every man was jealous, wanted to be like him. Every woman wanted him. I mean, and you know, since you're bringing up 80s, then you got your obvious ones, Ric Flair and others. Harley Race, I used to love as a heel because Harley Race, you know, maybe his physical attributes wasn't your clear-cut monster giant, but also, you know, was very educated. Nick Bockwinkel was awesome. Ray the Crippler Stevens was one. Those are some great heels. Pat Patterson. I can keep going on and on and on. Slaughter. Everybody hated Slaughter. Piper, I would say, number one, because to this day, I still have memories thinking about my grandmother, who's been dead now since 91. Still remember teasing my grandmother with my original Roddy Piper figure, which I talked about on Monday. She'd be sitting at our dinner table, and I would, like, right alongside with her, just put the doll next to her, and she doesn't realize it, and she's sitting there drinking a coffee, and she'll look over, and she'll do a double take. She'll look over and be like, get the fucking shit away from here. She was wonderful. She was wonderful. My generosity that a lot of people say and the goodness in me, I could tell you straight up, that's from my mom and my grandma. my mom and my Nana, you know, those two, easily. Toughness and the work ethic is my dad. No, not even a question. But those are some heels. Speaking of heels, Michael Gonzalez, how come JBL doesn't get as much love looking at greatest heels in the last 20 years? It's because everybody hated him so much personally. And the funny thing is, the guy was such an outspoken supporter of America. You know, sure, you might think he was Republican. You know, I don't really care what his political affiliation is, but because people were so angry at JBL personally, and look, there was times that I despised JBL. Then in the last 10 years or so, 15 years or so, I started warming up to the guy a little bit. And, you know, he is one of the top heels in the last 20 years. Absolutely. JBL is one of the very few people that I follow on Twitter. And there's no reason for me to follow him other than I like him. I do. I think he is an excellent heel. You know, sure, maybe some people felt his push was a little bit too much. Doesn't matter. He still was a great heel. Mary Berry, an audience with the Podfather, an interview with the Podfather, a meeting with the family. I liked them all. I liked them all a lot. But like I said, I think we're going to keep it simple, to be honest. Do I like The Sopranos? No, was never a fan of The Sopranos. You got to understand this, and I brought this up before. You know, I come from neighborhood. I lived in Middle Village up until my 20s. I had two stops along the way in two other neighborhoods, but I've been in Howard Beach since 99. So, you know, this is my home, and a couple of blocks away is John Gotti's house. I have met him in person when he was alive. I was a guest at his coffee shop, his social club in Ozone Park off 101st Avenue, which I've told to death over the years. I've met a lot of people personally. And there were parts of The Sopranos that I saw that were great, and there were parts that were so grossly exaggerated. I know people in my neighborhood were like, yeah, let's see that motherfucker do that in my neighborhood. Let's see if he gets away with it like they do on the TV. Like, of course it's TV, it's entertainment, but some of it, just people were like, no. But I got to meet a lot of people personally. In fact, I got to start posting pictures. There's two characters. I remember the guy's name. You all know him. He's got the giant, bald, you know, the forehead, you know, that he still does TV. Him and my father are like this. And, you know, I got tons of pictures of them hanging out Christmas time and this and that. Got to meet Big Pussy two times. One time we met him in a restaurant, and this was right after, I think, there was some controversy where he threw his girlfriend out of a moving car. You know, so there was some individual people I've met that I thought were really, really cool. I'm not saying it's cool to push somebody out of a car, by the way, but I'm just saying as far as meeting them, they were very, very nice. But I was never a fan of the movie Sopranos. Never really got into it, to be honest with you. Although, you know, Tony Soprano, the acting was excellent on a lot of people's parts. Some of the actors did an awesome job there. It wasn't their fault that some of the script was, you know, how it was, you know. It's just, you come from a neighborhood like this, you see that. That's why even like New Jack City, I loved New Jack City. Still one of my favorite movies of all time. I had a few friends, because I used to work at Chase Manhattan Bank at the time. I had a few friends that lived in some of those bad neighborhoods. And like, yo, man, if Nino Brown ever came into this neighborhood, tried to do that stuff with the turkeys, he'd get it upside his head and gizzard shoved up his ass. And like, they really exaggerated some parts of it, but that's what TV does. We all know that. You had to see this neighborhood when Travolta was going to do Gotti. I swear to God, they were I'm not lying, and I'm not going to recreate it here because I don't want to have to clean it up later. But I remember particularly standing in front of our deli, and there were a couple of people that we knew. And they were all talking about, hey, Travolta's going to be in the neighborhood later. Yeah, he's doing a fucking Gotti thing. And people just went, oh, shit. I got to go. I got to go answer a doorbell. You got to forgive me for this. Sorry, everybody. I know there's a way to pause the show, but I obviously have to block out my address, but I legitimately got a box delivered. You know, I talk about my keto diet all the time, and I actually plug a little bit online about these drinks that I have, and I've been waiting for this. These are ketones. They're drink mix. You mix them with water. They don't taste particularly all that good, but they have like a lot of salts and stuff in it, and it really helps you utilize and burn, you know. If you ever go check out DonTony.ProveIt, which is spelled PRUVIT.com, DonTony.ProveIt.com, and check out the video. It explains the diet, but, you know, I got myself some blueberry. It's like chocolate milk, but it's mixed with water. This one I've never tried. It's called strawberry peach. So I had to answer the door. So I tell you the truth, after the show is done tonight, I'm going to look on YouTube to see how I can pause the show so we don't have that, you know, 20 seconds of nonsense. But my apologies. I'm sure you all forgive me. On audio only, I would have edited out those few seconds. So let's see. Let's finish this up. Master JTLS. What he's always liked about me is the fact that I show a lot of compassion and love to my haters. I deal with negativity in a very respectful way. I understand the nuance in other people's opinions and viewpoints. Sure, I have fun rebutting others and make some jabs here and there, but I always seem like a human being who's just always putting out my honest opinion and my love for fellow man. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's no secret. You know some of the things that have gone on, and I'm not, you know, any innocent child either. But the one thing is that if I was upset about something or if something bothered me, I spoke my mind. I didn't say one thing publicly and then just totally trash people privately. And it weighs on you, man. You know, there's a lot, and I get this, and this is what I've come to realize, because I'm not going to lie, at first, it bothered me a lot. It bothered me that people were more angry of the messenger than the message. Like, somebody outs someone or something, and it happens all across life, and people get mad at the rat instead of what the actions were. And, you know, I realize now that people just want to enjoy a show. They don't care about the outside stuff. And I'm cool with that. I don't have any animosity towards anyone who looked the other way because they just want to be entertained. They have a lot of their problems as well. And I get it. And that's why it helped me let things go as well. But, you know, the only thing that does disappoint me is when people know that, you know, it's not just any one person and it's not just any one incident. There are quite a few people over the last couple of years who have smiled to my face and wrote some and said some horrible stuff about me, about my family, about my fiance, about, you know, just different things. And some of you who are watching this right now have sent me screenshots of it. But the one thing besides authenticity that is number two in my commandments, and that is trust. You know, when the XBW, that time with the bus trips, when they canceled the second night because they were worried about snow, even though we didn't have snow until way after that, I promised everybody on that bus trip I was going to give them their money back. And that fucking guy Slash screwed me over. And I went into my credit card account and I maxed it out. I did a withdrawal and I refunded every single person on that bus trip. And some of them to this day still enjoy my shows and still shout me out once in a while because I'm honest, straight up honest. And, you know, trust, I'm not honest. Like, I'll exaggerate things here and there, but trust, when I give you my trust, that's my bond. And when a lot of you out there over the last 2 years especially, and there's one person who does his own show, you know, he knows who he is. He lives in Florida. And, you know, he's told me stuff way before 2 years ago than about some people. Never forget what they said. But the thing is that a lot of you out there have showed me screenshots of what some people have said privately over the last couple of years and said to me, please, DT, if I show you this, you cannot say anything publicly. I could have posted it publicly and just not mentioned their name. But once you out the person, and there's multiple people, I want to make that clear, everyone. We're not throwing shade against anybody in specific, but I'm bringing up a point. Even if I post a screenshot and blacken out the person who sent it to me, the person I'm exposing just has to go back and look at their chat history and say, oh, that was that motherfucker is the one that revealed it. Now it's heat on the messenger instead of the message. And I always told everyone out there, your trust is my trust is my bond. So anyone ever sends something to me and says, please don't put it public. I don't want to have to deal with crap. I've never done it. You know, once in a while I get someone that says, yeah, put it out there. I don't care. And there's been a couple of times that I said, nah, you know what? I'm not, because I don't get enjoyment in seeing people get burned to the ground. My God, you want a great example? Look at that stuff that time, not only with Stevie Ray, which I respect totally, and he understands why I did what I did. I'm ashamed of it in 2020, obviously. In 1983 or 4, whatever it was, when I was a teenager, and people that don't know, I don't mind telling it. Run DMC was my favorite rap group as a kid growing up. And for Halloween, I dressed up as Run DMC, blackface and everything. Was not making fun of them. As a 13-year-old at that time in the 80s, I thought, if I'm going to be Run DMC, I am going to mimic them perfectly. And there were people there who were Spanish, black. Nobody got offended by it. At that time, you know, it was, I dressed up as them. I went to St. Francis Prep High School. And that tape I was telling you about at the beginning of the show, there's a part of the show where there's a Halloween party. And if I ever put that online, just picture in the late 80s, Halloween party in a Catholic high school. People are in blackface. People are dressed as Arabs. People are dressed as, you know, everything you could possibly imagine. Nobody got angry. Nobody got offended. And some of it was to make fun of people. I agree. You don't do that now because it's not right. You evolve, you mature, you learn over the years. But when that was all going down with Stevie Ray, you know, if you notice, there's a lot of people that, even before falling out or anything, there are people that don't come to my defense anymore whenever there's a little thing going. When I had the Sami Zayn stuff early in the year, did you see anybody come to my aid? And no. And the reason why is because when Stevie Ray got angry about, you know, me dressing up as Run DMC as a kid, number one, in Stevie Ray's defense, he didn't realize that I was 13 and it was in the 80s, you know, but it was still an offensive picture and totally understandable. When some people in my inner circle at the time were all running and fighting with people on social media and this and that, I told them all, I'm like, guys, I got this. Don't worry about it. Don't get involved. I got this. And I've said it to Mish's face. He's one, and he's one of many. And I said, I know you were pissed off at that time because they were putting their head out for me. And I was like, don't worry about it. I got this. I got this. And things cleared up. But even the Kayla Braxton thing, when she was at 7-Eleven or the gas station, whatever it was, and she left her purse on the top of a car and drove away and it fell on the floor and somebody pulled it out of, you know, her wallet out of the thing and stole money. And she wanted to have the people working in 7-Eleven or the gas station fired because they took, I guess, the money or threw the purse in the garbage, this and that. And all I did was I went online at the time. Now, let me make this clear, too. I absolutely love Kayla Braxton's work now. And, you know, I kind of regret opening up my mouth like I did. But I just thought it was so wrong. Like, you want the people fired and you want to put all this heat on the people for taking, but never once ever talked about the fact that you accidentally left your purse, or maybe it just fell on the floor and didn't realize it. You know, if I drop a wallet and somebody picks it up and puts the money in their pocket and then throws the wallet in the garbage or throws it in the mailbox or whatever it is, at the end of the day, I'm the one that started the chain of events, whether I realized I dropped it or not. So she came after me and talking about how, you know, I'm just trying to get a name for myself and this. And I'm like, honey, you know, I could care less about this. I'm like, you know, this, and like try, and it just led to this big, like for about maybe like a couple of hours, a big war. And I told everybody out there, like, please don't start with her or her followers. You know, please don't do it. Let it go. And everything got dropped like this. TJP, when I was criticizing TJP's gimmick in WWE, when I was saying that he should be healed, this and that, I gave a comment about him, and he writes back, and he writes, triggered. And what happens? All of TJP's 15-year-old followers at the time all coming at me. And I was like, triggered? What are you, out of your fucking mind? And it's that, and everybody, you know, tried to come to my defense. And I'm like, guys, I got it. So now, whenever something happens, everybody looks the other way. And I totally understand it. I agree with it. You know, I handle my own, you know, if I dig myself a hole, I better be able to dig myself out of the hole. Plain and simple. But honesty and my trust and authenticity are three very important attributes about me. And that will never change. And I appreciate people like you who have noticed that. And to Master JTLS and everyone else, you know, I know it gets a little annoying sometimes, always bringing up some of these things repeatedly. It's weird how sometimes they end up getting brought up no matter what, but I do try to avoid them. I really do. Gary Vaughn, I've mentioned that my fiance has three Yorkies. What is going to happen when we all live under the same roof full time? Will this mean extra background barks for the shows? Well, I'll tell you this much. You know, anybody that's ever been a dog owner and had an extreme attachment to a dog and then lost that dog and then said they will never replace that dog, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But when I first met my fiance, I still had my dog. And when I put my dog down several years ago, you know, the pain that I went through of him being diabetic for 6.5 years, my body still sometimes wakes up at 3:30 in the morning because that was the time I used to wake up to cook him dinner and give him his insulin shot. Do that for a couple of years and see how that fucks up your body and fucks up your mind. I didn't want dogs after that. Did not want dogs after that. And I don't dislike her dogs, but I can never let my heart get attached to them because there's only one dog that matters to me. And, you know, some people have called me out on that. That's fine. But, you know, that doesn't take away that I had a bond with my dog like this, that I still wake up crying sometimes in the middle of the night because he appears in my dream and it's so realistic that he's still alive and this, this, and that. And I wake up and I'm in tears. And thank God most of the time my fiance doesn't seem to be here. But, you know, her dogs now are now 10, 11 years old. So, you know, somebody said to me that the reason why I haven't gotten married yet is I'm waiting for all the dogs to die before I marry her. That's not true. But the one thing I will say that nobody knows that I've never brought it up before is, you know, my fiance lives with her mother, her father, and her brother. And they are extremely attached to the dogs as well. And we have already decided that when we move in together, we will be taking one of those dogs, maybe two, but probably just one, because one of the Yorkies, her brother has an attachment with, like I have with my dog. And it would be devastating to her brother if she took all three dogs with her. So we've already had that conversation. I have not made that publicly because, honestly, it's nobody's business unless they want to ask me. Because I don't think some of you out there are really interested in hearing me talk about, you know, a girlfriend's Yorkies. But, you know, when it does come time, and not only that, wherever we decide to move, I will make sure that I have a particular room where I could do my shows that is like on the opposite side of the house or wherever we move in. Does it not guarantee to be a house? But, you know, hopefully we won't have barking. And anyway, most of the shows are late at night. So by then, the dog should be asleep. So Quadruple H had the idea, ask the Don. I like it. Andrew 914, my memories of Jim Abbott. Well, you know, was never a huge fan of him. Always appreciated that he made it to the major leagues pitching with one hand. And, you know, and it wasn't that he made the major league simply because they wanted a feel-good moment. The guy actually could pitch. He was decent on the I thought he was better on the California Angels than the Yankees. But I have it on video. I'm looking at my collection right here. I have on video from the original recording of my VHS tape when he pitched a no-hitter. And that was awesome. I mean, he obviously, you know, was more of a bust on the Yankees, but really, really good guy. And talk about overcoming an obstacle. I still to this day don't understand why more people didn't steal off of him, you know, because or even bunt. I'm surprised looking back on it how many, you know, maybe left-handed hitters especially, or right-handers, you know, they go down the first baseline. I'm surprised that more people didn't try to bunt on him. I know you're going to say, well, he could just barehand it with his good arm. Yeah, obviously, that's how he pitched. But also, you got to field the ball. And you're fielding the ball with the same arm that you're going to throw the ball with. I would think that more people should have bunted off of him, in my honest opinion. Joey wants to know, do I think Big E could possibly win the 2021 Royal Rumble? Yeah. Could very well be. You know, the storylines are going to change so much between now and the Royal Rumble. We don't know who is going to win. We got to wait a little bit longer. You know, because I think Otis might have a shot. Big E may have a shot. Drew McIntyre may have a shot. You wrote that a week ago before Drew lost the belt. I wonder if you honestly thought Drew was going to lose. So there's so many things that are going to change. It is way too early to predict the Royal Rumble winner. Devin, could I see Enzo and Kaz return back to the WWE? Yes, I could. Kaz obviously has a lot of issues. He is fighting. He is growing. I want to see him overcome them. Never say never. Never say never. I don't think they burned the bridge. And Enzo does a lot of good that nobody sees. Enzo is not a bad guy. I think Enzo returning to WWE could very well happen sooner than later. Kaz, we will see. We will see. Brandon, do I think WWE should unify the tag titles like the women's titles? Nope. Nope. As long as you have a TV deal like that on SmackDown, sure, you could have the tag champs be on both brands. But they want to have their own identity, their own champions on SmackDown. If you didn't have the TV deal that you did, maybe they would have shared champions on both brands. Hell, you see someone like Asuka wrestling so many times in a week. You know, if you look back during the COVID era, she could have been the singular champion for both brands. Her and Kairi Sane could have defended the tag titles across both brands. But I don't see those titles unifying anytime soon. I understand why people come up with that idea, but you know, you got to look at it in a business standpoint as well. And I don't see that happening. Cherry, I think James Mitchell would be an excellent manager for Avedon. Absolutely. I have praised James Mitchell many times over the years. I think he would be phenomenal for Avedon. He's doing decent work and impact. And it's sad that so many people don't know that. But James Mitchell is good, very good. He's a character, and he's becoming a much more rare breed as the years go by. Big Dick Cheney, do I believe in aliens? Yes, I do believe that there's alien life outside in the universe. I honestly think so. I mean, you know, do I think that there's another Earth somewhere? I don't think so. But, you know, it's pretty amazing to find out, I think recently, that I think they said the moon, they found like water underneath. It's going to take thousands and thousands of years to have anything even grow on there. So, you know, I believe that there's alien life, but do I think that there's 5-foot green beings out there in spaceships? I don't know about that. You know, I mean, if we could detect planets that many million miles away or whatever it is, how is it that they have not detected us? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know. It's never say never, but I believe that there is alien life form out there in some capacity. We may not, they'd be microscopic, but Wizard Wiser wanted to ask me about Tammy Sitch's problems, why I always defend her behavior. She puts people in danger when she drives, intoxicated and reckless. The other question he wanted to ask is about the story I mentioned about her from USA Pro shows back in the day that would never tell publicly. I really don't think it's appropriate for me to talk about some of her private life with her and Chris Candido, even from Chris Candido's perspective, because he's no longer here. The reason why I defend her is, number one, I have met her enough times in private life that she is a very, very cool person. She gets a lot of hate online. And, you know, I've said this before, you know, somebody who has had the success she has, I agree that it's very hard to have sympathy on certain people. But at the end of the day, people with blue check marks or famous, you know, still have the same emotions we do, cry, bleed the same way. Yes, they are more, have more opportunity than all of us. But she maybe doesn't handle hate and trolls as good as someone else. She tries to troll the trollers. And the problem is, you're not going to ever get the trolls to say, Tammy, that was a good one. I how could I be mad at you? You just handed my ass to me. No, it makes her look as bad as them. And that's not a winning argument. That's not a winning fight to have. And I also know a few of Tammy's friends personally. I don't mention it publicly because I don't get starstruck by famous people, or whether it's wrestling or Hollywood. There are a lot of people that I know personally, not, you know, every day breaking bread or this, this, and that, but I have talked to a lot of people personally online, and sure, I could throw names out there and everybody, what do I get out of that? Oh my God, DT, you're so cool. I mean, how old am I now? You know? The thing is that I've seen a lot of Tammy behind the scenes and her friends, that she is not a bad person. She's got a lot of issues. And to me, and I've said this before, having an alcohol addiction is a medical issue just as much as it is a physical issue. I don't condone drinking and driving, whether it's sociable or having an addiction. She's got issues. And, you know, she's back in jail, and I could tell you, you know, when I was talking to one of her closest friends on Twitter DM the day she was arraigned, and I had the video, and we watched it live, and you felt so bad for her, and she had such a big thing going with the OnlyFans account, and you just say, like, how does someone throw that all away by having a cocktail and getting behind the wheel. It's not that hard. You know, you have an addiction, it overtakes you sometimes. You look at the social media addiction I always talk about, it has overtaken a lot of people online. And some people hate me for saying that because they are also victims of it. It's sad. There are addictions. I was addicted to food late at night. I would pass up hanging out with friends like or doing this and that because I'd rather just sit at home with a couple of bacon cheeseburger deluxes, watching TV, have this giant thing of food in front of me. And I would just, all my issues would just go away and I'd be focused on the food. And, you know, I mean, we've all had, you know, things. Just some are, you know, are very, very, could be deadly. I don't think it's appropriate for me to tell some of the personal stuff public. And I'm not trying to be a jerk by that. But, you know, if I say earlier, my trust is my bond, you know, yeah, there's tons of stories that I could tell that I've never told before, not just with her. There's a lot of other people in pro wrestling of things that I have witnessed that I would never make public because what do I get out of it? You know, like it would be a cool story, some of them, but to me, they're a little way too personal. When you could resist, you know, outing some really, really plus some of the people involved are now married with kids. You know, they've moved on in their lives. You know, I think it would just be totally disrespectful to bring up something that happened in a hotel room back in 2005 or 2002 or 2008 or 2011. They're fun memories, and maybe 20 years from now I'll write a book about some of them. But I just did, you know, there's just some things you just don't ever make public. But there's a lot more to Tammy Sitch than what you see online, and that's why I root for her. So I know it's unpopular, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. And she, and I still remember when I raised $3,000 for her when Chris Candido passed. And I remember she did a shoot interview and she had criticized the promotion for not, I guess, giving what they said they were going to give. And I got pissed off. And I emailed her and I'm like, here, here's the screenshot of the three canceled checks that I gave you. And she's like, I wasn't talking about you. She's like, you weren't working for the promotion at the time. She sent me a card that I still have stored away somewhere. And she sent me a card like 2-3 years in a row around the holidays thanking me. So there's a lot of her that people don't know about. And I look at her as a human being, you know, who happened to be, you know, the most downloaded woman in 1995. And, you know, she's got some issues. So, you know, I'm not starstruck. You know, I see people out there and you see it, you know, oh my God, this person followed me back. Oh my God. You know, and they put the screenshot as their wallpaper on social media. Good for them. That just was never me, you know. Andrews has the idea as Goomba. I like that. Rick James, is Hulk Hogan the best face and heel in the history of pro wrestling? Best face, poof. There were some that were clear-cut babyface in their entire career that you might argue with. Some people older may say Bruno, best face. For me, the way he transitioned pro wrestling from the 80s and made it into, you know, what it is today, yes, there's a lot of negative around Hogan, but I, as far as my lifetime, Hulkamania, you know, was larger than life. It was superhero. So me as a wrestling fan, I could say that greatest heel. No, you know, him going back to the dark side, cause people seem to forget he was a heel in the late '70s, early '80s, you know, being such a great baby face is what made the heel turn, but the heel turn, he was more cool than anything else. So I don't think he's the biggest heel in, or the best heel in history of pro wrestling. I think people would immediately say Ric Flair and some others, but what figure amount do I think Candy Cartwright will actually receive in her multiple lawsuits? As I said yesterday, I don't even think not everybody's been served yet. My honest opinion, I don't think she's going to get anything. But I have to see more. As of right now, I don't see it. I just don't see it. What do I think AEW's business plan years in year two for TNT? Well, getting back to a normal company outside of COVID, you know, no wrestling company, no company period was prepared for COVID. Other than manufacturers for PPE. But I don't even think they were prepared for it because they had to make, you know, crazy amounts. But I think AEW, you really can't look at it as year two. We have to wait. I think once the vaccine is here and things start to get, and it's got to build. Everyone thinks vaccine here, 10,000 seats filled the following month. It's got to gradually build. It's got to gradually build. So it could take another year before things get back to normal. What is the biggest lesson America has learned in Trump's four-year term? I couldn't answer that. I mean, Trump supporters see, you know, the Russia hoax and, you know, the attempts to try to get the military against him by some anonymous person saying that they heard him call them suckers, disabled veteran suckers. You know, it just, some of it, I just don't believe. It's what we've learned in the last 4 years is that the country is divided. The country was very divided before Trump became president. And Trump probably was the first president to basically fire back. And honestly, in a lot of ways, his firing back made it worse. I mean, I'll be honest and say it that way. So what we've learned in 4 years is this country is extremely divided. And, you know, it's going to take maybe a generation for us to recover from that. It's not going away anytime soon. That's why once my parents are no longer on this earth and her parents are no longer on this earth, we're getting the fuck out of here. If we have to go into the mountains where we have to drive a half an hour just to get milk, that's fine. That's fine. I want to get as far away from the bullshit that's going on in this country, in the world, as much as I can. I'll enjoy my life with my family, enjoy my life with everybody online, put myself and my family and the people I care about before everyone else, which might sound selfish to some, but, you know, to me, that's the formula for me. So, George Ford, Robert James Morella, surprised that WWE never did a documentary on his life, Gorilla Monsoon. Did they have a fallout before his death in 99? Oh, no. No. Vince McMahon was floored when Gorilla Monsoon died. Gorilla Monsoon, him and Bobby Heenan were a wonderful pairing, but I don't. Bobby Heenan was a character without Gorilla. Gorilla was a character with Bobby Heenan. Gorilla was a character in the 70s. I just think that mainstream fans would not have enjoyed a full-blown documentary on Gorilla Monsoon, but never say never, especially with them trying to document so many things. I wouldn't be surprised down the line we get a little mini thing done for Gorilla Monsoon, but I don't believe any falling out at all. No. Havley Brian Fayoko Hoppy, if Tori Wilson didn't leave in 2007, would she have been the first WWE Divas champion instead of Michelle McCool? I don't think so. Tori Wilson was beautiful. Tori Wilson was elegant. Tori Wilson did Playboy. But I think back to that time, Michelle McCool, you know, was doing pretty damn good. I think Michelle McCool was the right choice at that time. I know some of you out there have a couple other favorite women around that era that could have also been the first Divas champion, but I think you start off with someone who's legitimately decent in the ring. Tori Wilson never really put it together as a wrestler, so no, I don't think Tori Wilson would have been it. Slave Cheeks, I like that. Triple A, ask Anthony anything. Problem is everybody knows me as DT or Don Tony. You know, it's funny. In my personal life, everybody knows me as Anthony. once in a while, someone will call me or come in to my office, or I see them at a wrestling event, and they'll say, "Hey, Tony," even before the Don Tony name. I'm used to Anthony, always Anthony. I used to put Tony sometimes. I put Tony with Don Tony, obviously, but I'm still not used to Tony in real life. When people in my real life say, "Hey, Tony," I'll say, "Call me Anthony," because that's what I go by. Shout out to Chris. Shout out to Kay Shiguki. Oh, I sent him earlier. What about calling a Q&A, Don Tony After Dark? There's so many After Dark shows out there. And look, I'm doing this. Well, it is getting dark. I didn't have to use the light over here, which is great because I didn't have to turn the air conditioner on. This son of a bitch, now I realize that this one freaking light is the one that makes me sweat bullets at night. So I might have to position the lighting a little bit different in the future. This is a pain in the ass. You know, this light, I don't know if you could see it. This is a big mamma jamma. And I got one here. I got one here, and then I got two little lights. So it generates heat, man. But, you know, I don't want to be in pitch black either. But I don't want to call it After Dark. There's so many After Dark shows out there. I think I'm going to just keep it simple. SDT, anything, or DT, mailbag, or Q&A, you know. It gets the point across. And last question for today. Have you ever heard of Total Extreme Wrestling? If I haven't, I suggest to look it up. Yes, I have checked it out. For those that have heard me in the past, that have heard me play out of the park baseball, OOTP, I, for a very long time, loved out of the park baseball. I loved, you know, being the GM, the formula, putting everything together, not only building a great team, but characters, popularity, signing people, trading people, building up your audience, your attendance figures, balancing a budget. I love that crap. I love, you know, but I'll be honest with you. I tried Total Extreme Wrestling and it's like playing as a moderator. You know, I don't think a moderator would be the right way to put it, but simulator, you know, it's the whole aspect of being like a GM, or you could build your own wrestler. It's not a bad game, and I know a few people that love playing it. It's just over the last 2 years, I've fallen out of love with Out of the Park for the simple reason that they push, you know, buying the packs and, you know, building your team and competing against other people in the leagues. And, you know, I realized very, very quickly that if you take part in that, you know, if you have any chance of winning, you know, playing against other people online, you have to drop thousands of dollars in the game. And, you know, the original game format is still fun, but that kind of took me out of it a little bit because they were devoting so much more time towards, you know, the online and the money making, which is smart. So, you know, the role playing and, you know, being the GM and stuff like that, you know, it's not a bad game. Some of you out there may have never heard of it before. I think another version of it might have come out in around the summertime, but check it out. Total Extreme Wrestling. So with that, everybody, we are done. Okay, two hours. It said an hour and 28 minutes, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Now it's an hour and 59 minutes. So I am going to jet out of here. Great, right before the two-hour mark. So in this thread, leave your questions for the next episode. We will do that in 2 weeks, probably a week from this Sunday. I prefer to do them on Sundays. This week was a little different because of Hell in a Cell and because I didn't feel so great yesterday. But post your feedback. Post your questions. Ciao, everybody.